Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dave Uram from KYW Morning Sports with the Pro Football Hall of Fame voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. The Eagles gave one away on Sunday. They were up 17-3 in the fourth quarter, 18 unanswered points from the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos won 21-17. First time in a long time the Eagles lost a game. Merrill, what's your reaction?
Very, very disappointed. I never had the feeling, even when the Eagles were up 17-3, that it was safe. I said that at the time, that the Eagles had to add to it, and they just never functioned the way they should. There were a lot of things in this game that you can review, but the fact of the matter is they just didn't play the kind of football they have to play.
I know you kept pointing out how the game was far from over and Denver was talented enough to come back, but things felt so good for the Eagles after the touchdown to Saquon Barkley in the third quarter. But then, Merrill, things just changed. How?
Well, time after time, they went 1-2-3 and out. They made mistakes, a myriad of mistakes. They were offsides. They just took penalties that shouldn't have been taken. But there were some other things, and I'm not somebody who customarily goes after the officials. But there were a couple of things in this game that I think were really mishandled by the officials. One of the biggest plays in the game occurred when Bo Nix went back and Jalix Hunt had a beat on him, and he grabbed him, and he swung him around, and as he did, Nix let go of the ball. Now, it was supposedly in the direction of a tight end, but after meeting, the officials flew the flag. They always do that with that call, with the intentional grounding call. They usually get together and meet, and they did that earlier in the game and threw the flag. In this case, they got together, and they threw the flag. At this point, Bo Nix charged after them and was screaming about the call, saying he had a man in the area. And I think Sean Payton had something to say about it, too. But regardless, at that point, the play had been called. I never saw anything where a player or a coach could argue their way out of a penalty.
So Zach Berman from The Athletic, who's the Pro Football Writers Association pool reporter representative to get the pool report from referee Adrian Hill, he asked why that flag was picked up on the field. And I'm going to read word for word Adrian Hill's response, and then I'll get your reaction to that. Adrian Hill said, so what happened there? We have an 020, that's our official-to-official communication system. My 020 was not working. Grounding is a teamwork foul. I had intentional grounding. The line judge had that there was a receiver in the area, 28, but I didn't hear the information over 020, so I threw the flag. The line judge came in and let me know that 28 indeed was in the area, and that's why we picked up the flag. What are your thoughts on what Adrian Hill had to say about that situation?
Well, I had no idea about their lack of communications. What I saw was what I reacted to, and that was a flag thrown and Bo Nix arguing, as you would expect him to, and then the flag picked up. That's what I saw. I had no idea about the lack of communication.
But you really felt that, like, if that play went in favor of the Eagles,
a totally different game, because they had 3rd and 24 at that point.
I can't disagree with you on that.
There were a couple of other calls. The other call was late in the game when the Broncos were down inside the red zone, and there was a late hit called on Zach Bourne. I thought the ball carrier at that point was still straining for extra yards, and it wasn't like Zach Bourne came in as the second man and hammered him with a helmet or went at him viciously. He just kind of slid over him to make sure that he didn't pick up any more yards. And I thought that was a, a very bad call at that point.
Well, we happen to have, courtesy of Zach Berman's questions to Adrian Hill, a response to that as well. Adrian Hill said, so the officials saw we had a prone player on the ground, and he came in and hit the player that was prone on the ground when the play was over. That's Adrian Hill's explanation.
What I saw was that the play was not over because the ball carrier was still straining for extra yards. Mm. And if he hit him after that, it was a matter of seconds, and it was not a vicious hit. Really, where he launched himself and did not hammer him with his helmet, his shoulder pad, just wanted to stop him from picking any extra yards up. To me, that was not a case of a player who had given himself up or was tackled. It was a boom-bam play, and it shouldn't have been called, in my opinion.
Well, definitely a lot of debatable things.
And one other thing, and the officials can stand up and down and communicate to Zach Berman all they want on this. But at the end of the game, in desperation time, when Jalen Hurts went down to Dallas Goedert at the one-yard line, Dallas Goedert, you can look at this 1,000 times, he was mauled. He was grabbed. He was tackled. He was pulled down before the ball arrived, and no pass interference was called.
Would you like to hear Adrian Hill's?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Quote, so our officials saw mutual hand fighting and hand-to-hand combat and did not see action that rose to the level of a foul on that play. That was Adrian Hill.
I don't know what to say other than I think there were close to 70,000 people in that stadium who saw what I saw. And I would bet you if you talk to the millions of people who watched that replay on television, they'd come away with the same feeling. That was clear pass interference.
Well, it was the second to last play of the game. Eagles were in desperation mode at that point, and they probably should never have been in that mode in the first place.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm not saying that the officials beat the Eagles. The officiating did not help, of course, and the officiating, if anything, changed the outcome of several big plays. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles did not play well enough to win. They played well enough to build up a 17-3 lead, but at that point the offense went to sleep and the defense didn't come up with the big plays that they had to come up with.
So to close this conversation, Merrill, how do the Eagles bounce back now that they're 4-1 going into a short week Thursday night at the Giants?
Well, they've got the perfect opponent to bounce back with. When you're talking about the New York Giants, you are talking about a struggling team who lost to New Orleans, who is one of the worst teams in football. I would think that the Eagles have to go in there and play it like it's a playoff game and make sure they nail this one down. But if they don't, if they should somehow let this one slip through their fingers, then they're not the team we thought they were.
Definitely a frustrating afternoon for the Eagles at the link. Quick turnaround, Merrill. We'll have a lot to talk about this week as the week goes on with the Eagles getting ready to play the Giants on Thursday. Always appreciate your time and your thoughts, and we'll chat again tomorrow. That is the great Pro Football Hall of Fame voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.